Noam Chomsky has been for me in every way a puzzle. A socialist and fellow traveler, as he's described, in the anarchist tradition, drawn as he is to powerful institutions. Someone interested in language, but not apparently because he delights in words, but because he must be in control of them, or perhaps master their manipulation, often resulting in a convoluted construction about which the reader's left uncertain. Now, it's difficult to know the heart of any class-bound human, but I have to say I find so many contradictions in his apparent opinions. For example, on the one hand, telling us that all states require that the people submit, which is obviously true, but then tells us that the problem is not these states requiring our submission, but states not having sufficiently reined in corporations, the drumbeat of all left pundits. These guys have learned to use the economy for cover. Maybe we should rewrite those ways to see the propagandist and the pundit to read, they push forward the economy for power as cover. That they insist, and this is the effect, set aside intent. They insist the state must be made more, quote unquote, democratic, yet never define how that leads to us getting free. Put that out there as the objectives. You'll start generating energy. The solution, they tell youth, is to help their fathers fix the state. And then attention is always deflected away from the state as the manufacturer of consent. They never advance a clear alternative and a plan for how to get there, which strategically is key, as when we give ourselves the right problems to work on, we solve them. And I'm going to skip this long quote because I'm running late, but please read it. I have it up on the website. Basically, he's arguing that that it's business, that is, that it's corporations in the business sector which is behind what he calls the propaganda system. And all of this resonates, right? That's why I said you have to craft the bait to our taste. We do know that we're being flooded with propaganda. We do know it's crafted. And so give them a false villain, right? And because of course business wants to know how to sell us stuff. Yeah. Of course they want us to be docile and easy to manipulate and predictable. Of course they want to condition us. That doesn't mean that the state is not the underlying manufacturer of our consent. It's by definition, right? We have to be subject to be governed. That's obvious. So where's Bentham? Where's Hegel in what Noam Chomsky puts out there? It's what he carefully omits that's most instructive. Bentham on the state as manager of the people, who helps us see the two ends of totalitarianism that meet most clearly in fascism, but which are inherent in the state in all of its cases, whatever its legitimating ideology. Protection of and allegiance to the Father. Allegiance to the Father, the unique national personality, that's Hegel, which the leaders supposedly best manifest, commandeering the heart, and then the requirement that obedience be instilled in the majority, that's the hammer part. And while he seems by his tone to not believe in the notion of the rabble, and if we had the time, it would be interesting to go through that article, Consent Without Consent, Reflections on the Theory and Practice of Democracy, because it is subtle, subtle conditioning in that article, you know? I mean, I talk about the cattle too, but I say we the people are being viewed by these vampires as cattle, right? That's how they think about us from Plato on. And of course, Noam Chomsky knows that, but the way he repeats this notion of the horde and the rabble and the this and the that, the unwashed, the masked, and then juxtaposes that with the responsible men. See, the use of language like that, it plants a seed, particularly with his delivery. You don't want to be a part of the rabble after you listen to Noam. You want to be part of the responsible men. It's subtle. And he's a linguist. I do not believe that that's not crafted. So while he seems by his tone to not believe in the notion of the rabble, his acts and their effects belie this. His very presentation reinforces the opposite myth, that if we would align with he, a pure distillate of intellectuality, be part of the tribe of mind reified, we must necessarily embrace and deepen the divide, because that's just the nature of the beast. The cattle cannot fathom all the complexity that must be mastered to stand with the really smart ones. You must not romanticize the people, is the hidden message. When we look at the effects of the pundit and ask, does he leave us feeling stronger, with more inner light to shine on power's deep deceptions, or does he leave us feeling less adequate to face those challenges and more hopeless? Because it's time for us to admit, and I would add, more wanting to align ourselves with the powerful state as he did for half a century or more. Because it's time for us to admit, in considering the propped up pundits, that the feeling they leave us with is their purpose. And for hope to live, we need prescription.